Morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story about the lightship that went cross-country to get back to the ocean. This is a really old one, actually. This one was first published on December 12th, 2009, under the headline, Lightship Had to Go Cross-Country to Reach the Ocean Again. Here we go. You've probably heard about the Columbia River Bar. The river puts out an enormous volume of fresh water out to sea, and when the tide is coming in, seawater coming in fights with the river going out in some spectacular ways, especially when there's a storm. And there's often a storm. Some of the ugliest weather in the state happens right offshore there at Tillamook Head, where there are plenty of big ship-eating rocks. Well, after 1881, a lighthouse was stationed on the largest of these rocks, Terrible Tilly. Its beacon lit the sea up with the burning of 170 gallons of kerosene every month, all of it lugged up the stairs to the light in cans by the lighthouse staff. Still, the ships kept sinking. So in 1892, the Coast Guard actually parked a lightship, a 123-foot floating lighthouse, an unusually stoutly built ship with no engine, equipped with three enormous anchors, in the entrance to the river. Not in the entrance, but off the entrance. This was Lightship Columbia No. 50. Well, this helped a lot, although Coast Guard people dreaded being assigned to it. Certainly, it was a bad deployment for anyone troubled by seasickness. A 123-foot ship sounds kind of biggish, and it probably looks pretty vast in the harbor, but anchored 5 miles west of the mouth of one of the world's largest rivers on the edge of the world's largest ocean, probably felt like a Chris craft. One day in 1899, an unusually powerful storm snapped all three anchor cables, and No. 50 was on its way. The crew scrambled to set sails under the worst imaginable conditions and managed to keep the ship offshore while a tow was being arranged. But the sea was too rough to do it. After several attempts, with the crew exhausted, No. 50 was intentionally beached near Mackenzie Head, just south of the mouth of the river. Every member of the crew was rescued, but what about the ship? Most ships washed up on the Oregon coast at this time were pounded to pieces by the surf. But the No. 50 had been built specifically to be pounded and was showing absolutely no signs of breaking up. Well, when the weather improved, the Coast Guard started trying to tow it back out to sea. But the ocean had deposited sand around it, and it was just not going to go anywhere. 14 months later, the Coast Guard gave up, declared it a salvage job, and put it out for bids. Well, the winning bidder turned out to be a house moving outfit out of Portland, Allen & Roberts Company. Of course, when they gave it up for salvage, they were expecting someone to come and strip it and take off all the equipment and maybe even take it apart to scavenge the boards. But Allen & Roberts Company had another plan. This intrepid contractor had an elegant and very counterintuitive idea. Instead of a frontal attack on the pounding surf trying to shove the ship out to sea again, or on simply giving up and taking it apart, crews set it onto a cradle on a specially built railway and, using a block and tackle, started hauling it due east, away from the sea, straight up the shore and into a forest, through which a path had been cleared. The ship was making for the Columbia River. You see, a formation in its banks called Baker's Bay was just 700 yards from the beach where the ship was stranded. There, the ship could peacefully be pushed out into the water without fighting the pounding surf, and with all the repairs made, it could just wait tranquilly there, protected from the fury of the open sea, until the time was right to tow it back into place again. Which is exactly what happened. It cost $17,500 to do it, and another $12,135 for repairs, and the lightship was back on duty by the end of the 1901 summer season. Well, No. 50 served just 8 more years after that before being replaced by a newer ship and was sold at auction for $1,667.99 in 1915. That's it for today's episode. If you're listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon, you can get everything at our central website, which is offbeatoregon.com. There's about 175 columns going back to 2008 when I first started doing these, plus links out to the audio and text feeds on RSS as well as iTunes, and links to the Facebook page and Twitter feed if you'd like to get in on the conversation online. There's even a link to the Amazon page for my book, Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, which just came out this month. The website's also where you'll find the full citations of sources for this story. Sources for today's story include William L. Sullivan and Jim Clafton. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Details are at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day!